child of God, hear me and hear me very well. Whenever you find yourself in the midst of crisis and you are praying, don't pray as if life is over. Don't pray as if it is all over. Don't pray as if that everything is going to go bad. Because when everything seems to look bad, God is some way, somehow, always in the midst of it, making sure that the good, the bad, and the ugly will work in your favor.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We are grateful to the Lord this morning for the opportunity we have. We will continue once again with our series of messages in the book of Acts. Please, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So, mighty God, we give you praise. We give you honor and adoration. We just want to bless you because you are the great I am. There is no one like unto you. And today, as we turn the pages of Scripture, Lord, speak to our hearts. Challenge us with your truth. Cause us, O God, even to rise to become better. I pray that your word will have inroads in our hearts and you will teach us your truth. So I commit my heart to you, Lord, that you would use me as a vessel for your own glory. Let me not speak mine, but yours. I thank you, even in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody who is under the sound of my voice will say amen. All right, so we've been studying the book of Acts of the Apostles. And so far we have established that the book of Acts actually shows us what happens when a church is infused with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it shows us how a church functions when the Holy Spirit is not in control. And thirdly, what we ought to look like as a church or as individual believers when we live by following the leading of the Holy Spirit, or simply when we walk in the Spirit. Today, we are in Acts chapter 4 from verses 23. We'll read all the way to verse 31. And I will use as a subject this morning, in times of crisis, expect Holy Spirit empowerment. Anytime you are in the middle of crisis, there are things you ought to do. You ought to pray. And when you pray and follow the model that we see here, you will be able to expect an empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, from verse 23 to verse 31, and I'll read from the King James. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever. I need you to underline that verse. It's so important. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined beforehand to be done. And now, Lord, I'm in verse 29, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness that we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and speak the word of God with boldness. So here we see that Peter and John were arrested by the Sanhedrin, and they were questioned, and they were told that whenever they go, they should never teach in the name of Jesus again. But then the scripture says when they went into the company of the rest of the church, that is, in the company of the apostles, they give them a rundown of all the things that have transpired, and the first thing they did was to pray. In time of crisis, pray, child of God. These people at that time were very popular. They had healed, miracles had happened, people liked them. And they could have utilized their whole public reception as an idea of causing a revolt, but they didn't do that. The first thing they did was to pray. And today we want to look at the nature of the prayer, because that is what is going to attract the Holy Spirit in a time of crisis. In a time of crisis, we ought to expect a move or the power of the Holy Spirit to be unleashed upon us, but it comes in the context of prayer. So the first thing we want to learn this morning is that in prayer, remember God is sovereign. In prayer, remember that God is sovereign. When you are praying, don't pray as if the crisis is the end of all things. Remember the sovereignty of God. In the book of Acts chapter 4, look at verse 24. He says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, Lord. If you read the Amplified Bible, let me read the Amplified of verse 24. He says, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together with one united mind to God and said, O sovereign Lord, O sovereign Lord. Now, what they were trying to indicate is that God rules over all things if he is sovereign. The sovereignty of God refers to the fact that God is in complete control. You know, when you are in crisis, you think that the crisis is in control. But when they prayed and they began to address God and say, the Lord, you are in charge of all things, God did not need to hear it. It was for them. They were the ones that needed to hear it. And in the prayer, whenever you find yourself in crisis, as a child of God, always remember to pray concerning the idea that the God that you and I serve is a God who is sovereign, who rules over all things. In other words, God can do anything he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, and he can determine how he wants it done. The problem is that sometimes we want him to do things and he doesn't do it. It does not mean that he is not sovereign. It simply means that he chooses to function whenever he wants to function. And sometimes, whenever we talk about the sovereignty of God, it is so much as if that it is a big-time theological thing, but it is also practical. And I want us to look at a few of them. That whenever you begin to see that God is sovereign, that he overrules human events, number one, it removes all worry. It removes all worry. If God is in full control, then there is no need to fear. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to purpose. And we know it from scriptures. We know that in those difficult times, the Holy Spirit will speak those powerful words to us. And the scripture says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to purpose. So whenever you begin to look at God's sovereignty, worry is taken out of the equation, because you know that God is in control and that the enemy would never win. The second thing the sovereignty of God does for us on its practicality is that God's sovereignty assures us that he will help bring us to a place of maturity. In fact, when you look at our spiritual walk, or you look at a Christian who is in a crisis of sin, this believer doesn't know today is this, tomorrow is that, and they are struggling. Now, God never saves you and leaves you to yourself. He has a part to play to bring you to a place where you will be matured in him. And his sovereignty assures that that is going to be possible. The book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 said these words, and it's so powerful. Let me quote them. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it will perform it. The God who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So you see a progression that God does not leave your maturity to you. He is part of the process. There are things he does to enable you so that you can become better. Romans 8 verse 31 says, and what shall we say then to these things? The things that confront us. The thing that brings us to a place of crisis. He says, whenever you are in that place, what is it that you can say, child of God? This is what you can say. That if God be for me, if God be for us, then who can be against us? He says, he that did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also? How shall he not with him also freely gives us all things? What is the scripture saying? He is saying that if God gave Jesus Christ to us, then he's going to add something to it. He's not only giving us Jesus, but with Jesus, there is something else he gives to us on top of that. And this is where we, you and I, can have confidence. So in the midst of crisis, child of God, learn to begin to look at God's sovereignty. When you lift up prayer, just don't say, Lord, I'm in trouble. But begin to declare, are you not the one who rules over all things? Did you not make this well? Did you not form the rivers? Are you not in complete control? As you begin to speak and talk about how great and how awesome and how sovereign God is, you will begin to see that on the inside of you, there is something that is building up and is rising up on the inside of you. God's sovereignty removes all cause for worry, but God's sovereignty also assures us that even in the midst of crisis, he will bring us to a place of maturity. Thirdly, God's sovereignty affects how we make decisions. Because we know that God is in control, you don't say, maybe it doesn't matter what I do, nothing is going to change. No, you have help. You have divine help. You have the help of God. So child of God, you don't throw in the towel. You don't give up on yourself. You simply say that I am going to make the best decision as I can. But here is a caution. You must make the decision based on the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And if you do it that way, God will step in your affairs and will begin to work on your behalf. So we find that the sovereignty of God removes all worry. The sovereignty of God helps bring us to a place of maturity. The sovereignty of God helps us to make decisions the right way. The sovereignty of God, fourthly, impacts our sense of identity. The fact that God is sovereign reminds us when you feel condemned. Yeah, I'm still dealing with the concept of a person who is in the crisis of sin. God's sovereignty reminds you who you are. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God's sovereignty gives you a sense of identity. You are his child. And I want you to rejoice over that. So what I want you to see is that these people, these apostles in the time of crisis, they began to pray. But their prayer began with a recognition of God's sovereignty. They said, God, you have the authority over all things. You have the entire world in the palm of your hands. And you are intimately involved in human events. And we know that we have victory in you. The second thing we find in their prayer, which we are going to learn, that in prayer, we should not only remember God's sovereignty, but secondly, in prayer, we must remember that God is not caught off guard by your situation. He's never. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 4, these people began to quote the scriptures. In fact, the scripture that they quoted It's found in the book of Psalms chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2. And here we read it. He says, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." What they are trying to say is this: Lord, we know that the situation we are in, being arrested and then trying to threaten us so that we will not, this is something you have already talked about. This is something that you have already said in your word. So what you are trying to indicate is that you are not only sovereign, but the issues that we are dealing with, those issues will not catch you off guard. Child of God, there are days when you notice that there are things you are dealing with, and those things seem to catch you off guard. But you and I are dealing with a God who is not surprised by what you are going through. In fact, by his foreknowledge, he knows what you're going to go through. And that is how you know that God is going to help you overcome the things you are dealing with. So in prayer, whenever we find ourselves in the midst of crisis, we say we must pray. But in prayer, we must remember God's sovereignty. Secondly, we must remember God is not caught off guard by our situation. Thirdly, you must remember that God is involved in history. He is involved in human history. In other words, all throughout history, you will see that God is on the course fulfilling his purposes. Listen to the words in Acts chapter 4. And let's look at verse 27 and verse 28 and how these people are praying. They are praying, say, "God, you are a sovereign God. No one is bigger than you. Lord, this situation we are in, you have already prophesied it." And now they are saying, "We recognize that you are in the midst of human history. You are making things conform to your will." Let's pick up the reading. Acts chapter 4, verse 27 and 28. "And for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatever thy hand and your counsel," in other words, to do whatever God has already predetermined for those things to be done. They are talking about the fact that this God who is sovereign, this God who is not surprised by anything that happens in life, he is able to turn all the evil that people want to do against your life, he will turn it in your favor. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The prayer of these people are saying, "God, we recognize that these people, they arrested Jesus. Their intent was to shut him out, but they couldn't. Why? Because all this while, they were working for you. They thought that they were so powerful. They were doing their things. They were killing Jesus, but they were actually fulfilling your word." Child of God, hear me and hear me very well. Whenever you find yourself in the midst of crisis and you are praying, don't pray as if life is over. Don't pray as if it is all over. Don't pray as if that everything is going to go bad. Because when everything seems to look bad, God is some way, somehow, always in the midst of it, making sure that the good, the bad, and the ugly will work in your favor. This is what is happening here. They arrested Jesus. They wanted to destroy Jesus. But God. Say that with me. But God was involved in human history. In the book of Luke chapter 2, we read about Caesar Augustus. This was one of the powerful Caesars. He was going to be involved in a military campaign. And so he asked that everybody should go back into their country so they could be what? Counted. Census. Reason was for taxation purposes, for his military campaign. Because of that, Joseph and Mary, who were in a different place either than Bethlehem, had to relocate so that Jesus will be born where that God wanted him to be born. You know, sometimes we see so many inconveniences, because I do believe this woman who was pregnant, traveling over undulating terrain and being taken all over quite a distance just to go and get counted so that they can pay their taxes, was inconvenient. But God was in the inconvenience. He has caused the inconvenience to bring to pass his will. So never look at all the inconvenience in your life as something from the devil, because God is going to make sure that he brings his will to pass in your life. Another example we can look at is in the kingdom of Ahasuerus. In the book of Esther, We find that Haman was trying to destroy the people of God. In fact, we tell the story many times. People rejoice over it. But if you were part of the Jewish people at the time, it was really terrifying that on the 13th day of Adar, according to the Jewish calendar, they were going to destroy the entire Jewish race. They were going to wipe them out. That was devastating. It was troubling. But the scripture says God was in the midst of it. He was going to use that moment to elevate Mordecai and use this dude to save his people. What a God that we serve. What a God that we serve, child of God. In the time of crisis, I want you to expect that the Holy Spirit will come. But he comes in the context of prayer. A prayer that recognizes God as sovereign. A prayer that recognizes and remembers that God is not surprised about our issues. A prayer that recognizes that God is in the midst of history and he is fulfilling his purposes. Fast forward, let's bring it down to today. No matter the things that are happening in our world, it looks like there's so much evil and many crazy things happening, but God is still in the midst of it, bringing his will to pass. Bringing his will to pass. Now, another element, the fourth element we see in their prayer is simply this. The scripture says, they asked for strength to continue their kingdom assignment. Let's pick that up in Acts chapter 4 from verses 29 to verse 30. In the midst of difficult times, listen to the kind of prayer these people are praying. They are not praying about their needs. They are praying about something so powerful. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness that we may speak your word. In the midst of this, they want to speak the word of God. They said they've been threatened. They've been told, don't speak this word. But they say, we will speak the word. And they're asking God, give us boldness that we may speak your word by stretching forth thy hand to heal. So here they are not asking that God use us to do the healing, but God himself will cause the miracles, the signs, and the wonders to take place himself. Wow, what a prayer. In the midst of your crisis moments, when you pray, ask for strength to continue your kingdom assignment. You know, when the crisis comes, sometimes we are tempted. I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to go for a prayer meeting. I don't want to be part of anything else. And the devil has everything to tell you how to walk away from the things of God. But here we see an example of a people that in the midst of these crisis moments, the scripture says, they began to pray, say, God, give us boldness so we can continue to speak. The very thing that got them into trouble. They said, we need boldness to be able to declare it. We need boldness to declare it. The final thing about their prayer is that the scripture says, when they prayed, something happened. Verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaking. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they speak the word of God with boldness. They speak the word of God with boldness after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They speak the word of God with boldness. They spoke God's word with boldness after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a mighty God that we serve. Now, what I want you to see is that this group of people have already been filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the word of God says. Now, the scripture says, after they prayed for boldness, the Holy Spirit comes to fill them again. Child of God, God wants to bring you to a place where the level of your feeling is not ordinary. In other words, where you come into a place where God is in complete control of who you are. Now, a little study of the word field in this context shows us something very, very important. It tells us that it was full. It was accomplished. When they prayed that they will have boldness to speak the word of God, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is only the Holy Spirit who can give you that level of boldness in the face of attack and threats. Child of God, the book of Acts reminds us of how the Holy Spirit, when he is infused in people, how things happen. The Church of Jesus, you and I today, ought to return into a lifestyle that depends on the Holy Spirit's leading. In fact, I want to take time and walk you through the book of Galatians chapter 5, because when we read those words, you will notice that the fruit of the Spirit that is given, some of them are meant for the times of crisis. All right? Galatians chapter 5. Let's pick up from verse 22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." He says, "Against such there is no law." When the Holy Spirit comes, He's not only there to guide us, but He's there to comfort us in the midst of difficulties. But then He's also there to sustain us. And these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, these fruits that He bore in our lives. So let me take time and explain a few of them to you. First of all, He says that Spirit bears in us the fruit of love. This is what we call the agape love. The agape love. It is what is called the self-sacrificing love. God brings us to a place where you and I will begin to understand that it is time for us to love people. It doesn't matter who they are. The scripture says we ought to love them. We ought to love them. We ought to love them. All right? The second thing is that the Holy Spirit brings joy. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit brings peace. First, the Holy Spirit brings what? Love, joy, and what? Peace. Joy is what I call a deep and abiding inner rejoicing, not dependent on circumstances, because it rests. In the midst of crisis moment, you can easily lose your joy. What the Holy Spirit does, when He comes to feel and empower you again, He brings you joy. He brings you joy. That deep and abiding inner rejoicing that is not dependent on the things that are around you. Thirdly, He brings you peace. He brings you peace. It is the inner repose and quietness in spite of adverse circumstances. Oh, what the Holy Spirit does. Now let's continue. The Holy Spirit brings in what I call long suffering. Much modern versions call that patience. This is the quality of forbearance under provocation. In other words, it is a person, no matter the things that is being done to you, you are not ready to retaliate, but you are ready to suffer long. That old King James language, long suffering, means you suffer long. You can take a lot of suffering over a lengthy period of time. That is not human nature, but it is something that the Holy Spirit can help you achieve. Again, gentleness, or what modern versions will call kindness, you know, and then goodness, right? And then faith or faithfulness, that in the midst of crisis, that He will inspire faith in you and bring you to a place of faithfulness. Because sometimes most people in the midst of crisis are not faithful. So I want to show you how when they prayed, the Holy Spirit came in a greater measure. He came in a greater measure because He was enabling them to have all these things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness. Meekness is the other one. Meekness. Much newer versions say gentleness, meekness. It is how a person becomes so submissive to God's word. And sometimes when they even have a right to put people down, they choose not to do it. And the final one is temperance or self-control. In the midst of crisis, there are things that will unsettle you, but the Holy Spirit comes in. This is why your prayer must be, "Lord, grant me boldness to continue my kingdom assignment." And the Bible says as soon as they prayed, the place where they were shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me conclude by summarizing what we've talked about today, child of God. That in the time of crisis, pray. And in your prayer, you must remember God's sovereignty.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555. Or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. all at Covenant One Family.